Greetings, Constant Listeners. It's Michael Rose Red Rothman. What you're about to hear is a clip from our Patreon-exclusive series, Talkin' Hawkins. It's a limited spinoff podcast that flips King's Dominion upside down to discuss all things Stranger Things in light of the fourth season. Well, guess what? This is the very episode we've been waiting for. A deep dive into both volumes of Stranger Things 4. It's a long one, too. Clocking in at around 3.5 hours, which is just about the length of the last two episodes, come to think of it. Anyways, as we've done with the last three episodes of the series, we talk about the kids, the adults, the 80s references, our favorite needle drops, and naturally, all connections to Stephen King. And there are many. This is the fourth and final episode in the series, and you can get it now and all the prior installments by becoming a member of our Patreon, The Barons. But here's the real deal. In addition to this ep and all the other Talkin' Hawkins eps, you can also unlock over 100 hours of exclusive content. Actually, I'd probably say hundreds of hours at this point. I'm not even lying. From our Stephen King archival series, to our Dark Tower Detour show, to our Spooky Souls Midnight, to over a dozen commentaries on all your favorite Stephen King movies, to all our locked episodes from years prior. They're all in there. And you can get them now by subscribing to the link of this episode. Or you can visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. What are you waiting for? So much stuff. So many goodies. Papa John's. Anyway, hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights. I've got this pen. I've been using it all night. And I didn't tell you this, but there was a little note in it earlier. And I'm no Magellan, and I'm certainly no Lewis and Clark, but there seemed to be what looked like a bunch of coordinates inside. And when you know it, they've led us right to the Hawkins National Laboratory.
You're sick. Sick, but I'm going to make you better. I'm going to take you back home where I can make you well again, where we can make all of this better so no one else gets hurt.
What was that reference? What are you referencing? What is the pen bit?
Well, that's in Stranger 4.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
You did the fucking recap. the agent has the pen, yeah, remember?
And he dies and he gives him the pen and then the phone number's in it and they realize that the pen's dead because Argyle's trying to write his...
There's a lot of details. This is only proof.
Look,
of just
those
how
episodes
much is in
were
it.
Like 85 minutes long.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Only 13 hours of stuff. You should remember every second.
And
of
it's not like it was, you know, the strongest plot line of the season. So, yeah.
Well, okay.
In my opinion.
Anyway, I digress. In the Hawkins National Laboratory, we talk about the production highlights of the season. And oh boy, we have a long road to where we are today. So let's go back to 2019, summer 2019, because that's where we left off. If you recall, Stranger Things 3 literally blew off the roof of this franchise. So it was pretty much expected that the fourth season was going to go even bigger. And the Duffers made that pretty clear early on. In fact, during the press tour for Stranger 3, the Duffers were already teasing the scope of the next installment. And here's what Ross Duffer told Entertainment Weekly. You know, we don't want to write ourselves in a corner. So we try to have these early discussions with the writers just to make sure that we're, you know, like setting ourselves up to go in the right direction. We don't know a lot, but we do know a lot of the broad strokes. At the end of season two, we knew about Billy. We knew what the Russians were going to come in, and we didn't know the mall and stuff. But again, we know these big broad strokes. That's sort of where we are in season four. We have the big broad strokes. It's just about how filling in those lines and the details. We're pretty excited about where it's potentially going to go. Matt, I'll be right there. And again, like we said, it's going to feel very different than this season, but I think it's the right thing to do, and I think it'll be pretty exciting. So his brother Matt followed with an even better stinger. Randall, you want to take this one?
I think the biggest thing that's going to happen is it's going to open up a little bit. Not necessarily in terms of scale, in terms of special effects, but open up in terms of allowing plot lines into areas outside of Hawkins.
Well, then producer Sean Levy also chimed in and added some fuel to the fire. Justin, take it away.
Oh, my Lord. Certainly, season three ends with several plot strands that are separate from each other. And should there be a season four, I think we'll see them all explored.
Well,
you're my Lord, reminded me of when Kelsey Grammer falls off the stage.
Oh, good Lord.
God. That's kind of that sounded like me when at the ending of The Bear last night, when I literally yelped out loud like a fool.
Like a bear, actually.
Oh, God. Oh, good heavens. We got to do a Frasier cast one of these days.
I think I
will say, Constant Listeners, we've not to, you know, I love Frasier. I don't know if I could say I love Kelsey Grammer so much these days, but we've made that bit many times on our text thread, so apologies if we go off on that.
I did finish that show.
You did finish that show. Yeah. You finished
finish. Everybody died at the end. How'd you react?
Yeah, I know. I did. It is a happy ending, but I still did cry.
Well, at the end of the at the end of Frasier, he gets on the plane and realizes that it's going to be going into the Twin Towers, and it's
I know.
No, that's like the you know, remember me. Remember that one?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kelsey Grammer in that movie?
No. Okay, no, he's not in that movie.
He might be somebody's father or some shit. Who knows?
End scene. Well, all those sentiments became a reality that September, because which was only 2 months after the fact, when Netflix officially confirmed a fourth season, shocker, and dropped a 45-second teaser trailer giving us our first glimpse of Stranger Things 4. And in retrospect, it was actually more than we should have expected. There was the grandfather clock motif, which has become the iconic totem of the season. But most importantly, there was a big tagline that got us all ready for the scope of what's to come. And that tagline was, "We're not in Hawkins anymore," which sounds like something Jerry Stiller would say. We're not in Hawkins anymore. So this
all's interesting. Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
What's interesting about that, that's not an 80s reference. That's more of a 1930s reference to The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know,
we're not in Kansas anymore, right? You know?
Yeah, I think that's the line.
That's a good line.
It might be.
Yeah. Problematic Randall, movie.
Can you confirm that?
Can you? Yeah.
Let me Google it.
Make sure, you know. So anyway, all of this coincided with Netflix announcing that it had signed the Duffer Brothers to a new multi-year TV film deal, which is actually pretty instrumental this season, considering the size and the scope and the budgeting of what was to come. But we'll touch on that in a bit and throughout our discussion, no doubt. Anyhow, the breadcrumbs kept on coming. And on November 6th, aka Stranger Things Day, the show's writers revealed the first title of the episode, Chapter One, The Hellfire Club, with the caption, "Looking for new members, are you in?" Needless to say, I think everyone on Twitter or on Instagram were all like, "I'm in! Ah! I don't know what it is." Anyway, this is all preceded by a leaked casting call that was looking to add four new male characters, with three of the roles being teenagers and one of them being an adult. The teenage roles were characterized as ranging from a metalhead to an entitled jock, to a character that sounds an awful like the twin of Fast Times at Ridgemont High stoner, Jess Spicoli. Wow. While the adult character was tied to the Russian storyline introduced during the third season. And we know all of these now as Eddie, Jason, Argyle, and Tom Oshlashi.
Are you saying that Argyle is inspired by Jess Spicoli from Fast Times?
Oh my God, I think so.
Are you saying that was my exact note?
Was it really? Oh, interesting. Yes. Well, anyway, at this time, we're all thinking, and by we, I mean Stranger Things fans, are thinking, okay, things are moving along. Awesome. Then the biggest splash, at least at the time, arrived on Valentine's Day 2020, which seems like 2 decades ago at this point, when Netflix dropped their own Valentine in the form of a 50-second teaser trailer that Randall discussed earlier from Rush with Love, and that revealed, yes, Jim Hopper was alive and trapped in Russia. Nobody knew at the time, but this would be the last footage we'd see for a very, very, very long time. And does anybody know why?
No.
Yes.
No.
Well,
was it
rhetorical question?
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Hawkins either. But that's a rhetorical question. We all know why. COVID-19. So we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it all because we really don't have enough fucking breadcrumbs to find our way back out in the top. So here's an abbreviated production timeline. Justin, you want to read it?
I'd be happy to.
All right.
Well, in February 2020, it was announced by the Duffers and Netflix that production had officially begun in Vilnius, Lithuania, at the recently decommissioned Lukiškės prison. I'm pretty sure that's correct, actually.
I think so. Although I made you read it because I didn't want to read that Lukiškės.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Yeah. What if I just totally stumbled over it? But
cares.
From there, filming would resume around the Atlanta metro area. Great place. The primary production location of previous seasons for 2 weeks of filming before all Netflix productions were halted on March 16th, 2020, due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Filming did not resume until September 28th, 2020. So that was what?
A good
six months later. Wow.
Yeah.
Which then carried over into 2021 with production taking place in Rome, Georgia for the Creel House and eventually at Netflix's Albuquerque Studios in New Mexico. It wasn't until September 2021 that shooting finally wrapped. And we'd like to thank the actor who plays Will.
Yeah.
Noah Schnapp, who announced
Noah Schnapp.
That.
Good job, Noah.
He said, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
And it was. And it took 18 months. It was like the production of Eyes Wide Shut.
It really was, you know? Except, and then the Duffer Brothers died and they had to have their film worker piece it together with Warner Brothers. Anyway, throughout that time, we got various teasers from production photos to casting announcements, including the reveal that Robert Englund would play a vital role, which really sent, shockwaves through horror Twitter. And we also got some infuriating teaser clips, mostly dealing with the Hawkins lab, some footage from Netflix's Tudum Festival, which I don't know if that's going to happen again. All of
more
which
like, more like Dumb Festival.
Yeah, it really was a Dumb Festival. Maybe. More like, yeah, it was infuriating because we got a clip, which is kind of cool, but it also, we had no context for it. So it was kind of like, what the fuck is this? Anyway, all of this culminated with the real marketing campaign that began in February this year, 2 solid years after the Hopper teaser that we had mentioned earlier. So how did this all start? It started with an emotional letter from the Duffers. And Randall, take it away.
Emotional? Oh, man. I got to do some acting.
Oh, yeah.
Do it like you're the brothers reading it simultaneously.
No. That's too hard. Hi, nerds. Do you copy? It's been a little while. I don't know what this voice I'm doing is, but I'm going to do it.
It's like,
with 9 scripts, over 800 pages, almost 2 years of filming, thousands of visual effects shots, and a runtime nearly twice the length of any previous season, Stranger Things 4 was the most challenging season yet, but also the most rewarding one. Everyone involved is incredibly proud of the results, and we can't wait to share it with you.
Randall, I have to cut you off.
Just totally giving up on the voice.
This sounds like, you sound like Charles Kuralt from CBS This Morning. Go continue.
He sounds also like Emo Phillips at the same time. Like,
given the unprecedented length.
Oh, it is Emo Phillips. That is a good, that you do sound like that.
Yeah.
I was trying to do more news, like morning news anchor.
Now it's a little Cronkite-y, a little Walter Cronkite going.
How about that?
To get it to you as soon as possible, season 4 will be released in 2 volumes. Volume 1 will release on May 27th. Volume 2 will release 5 weeks later on July 1st. So that's the good news. It's coming soon, and it's bigger than ever. It's also the beginning of the end. 7 years ago, we planned out the complete story arc for Stranger Things. At the time, we predicted the story would last 4 to 5 seasons. It proved too large to tell in 4. But as you'll soon see for yourselves, we are now hurtling toward our finale. I'm going to do
Dracula.
Yeah,
now.
I was going to say, sound
Dracula.
Yeah. The Dracula brothers.
Season 4 will be the penultimate season. Season 5 will be the last.
All right, what do you got
there
next?
Are still many more exciting stories to tell within the world of Stranger Things. New mysteries, new adventures, new unexpected heroes. But first, we hope that you will stay with us as we finish this tale of a powerful girl named Eleven and her brave friends, of a broken police chief and a ferocious mom, of a small town called Hawkins, and an alternate dimension known only as the Upside Down. Always, we are grateful for your patience and support. Over and out, Matt and Ross. You call that emotional? I thought they were going to open up about their dead parents or something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Couldn't see the season. You know,
that's it's like, well, COVID was really rough. Anyway, so obviously the pandemic presented a number of obstacles for the season. Among them, you know, the kids being older and basically spawning a ton of Wet Hot American Summer.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation.
Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.